Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Today's topic connects with a topic we did last week. Remember, we did had a podcast last week on the diet that treats depression.
Right.
Today, we're going to talk about the activities that treat depression.
I was really excited about this whole topic because if you've ever experienced, and most of us have, if not clinical depression, at least a case of the blues.
Right, okay?
And people want to know, well, what can I do? Mm-hmm. And there's the whole controversy of, should I use medication?
Right.
Should I take drugs? Or are there other things that I can do? And this is a list of very useful tips of things that you can do that will make you feel better.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was really pleased to see this.
So this is an article by Dr. Joel Mendel.
Minden.
M-I-N-D-E-N.
Right.
And it's called Do More, Feel Better. Mm-hmm. 8 tips for using activity as, I like this part, behavioral antidepressant.
Right. So I just love this whole idea.
We're not talking about medications. We're talking about things you can do to be more, to lift your mood and to feel better and to be less depressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people always say, what can I do? Boy, here's a list of things.
Yeah.
Carry it around in your wallet.
Absolutely. So let's talk about it a little bit and see where we go. So the first thing is he talks about giving it some thought.
Right.
And he says, you know, when we think about, many times when we're depressed, we think about being depressed.
That's right.
And so one of the things that you can do to help manage your depression is to not think about being depressed.
Right. Think about anything else.
Yeah. Yeah. Just think about what you like, what you enjoy, what makes you happy, what engages you.
What depression does is it drags you back to the same place.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what you do, it pulls you back to that same dead spot. Okay,
right.
I don't know why, because we don't want to go there.
Right.
But it's almost a dream state where it keeps dragging you back to that horrible place. That's what you have to resist.
Right.
Is think about something else so that you keep moving away from that. Because the tendency is going to be dragged to it.
Absolutely. Okay. Now, the second thing is to start with small changes.
Right.
And what he's talking about here is the idea that, you know, many things in our life are really challenging.
Right.
And as we continue to do challenging things, it reinforces the idea that, you know, I'm never going to get any better. Mm-hmm. I don't enjoy things. I'm ineffective. And so he talks about making small changes just by incorporating some things that you're really good at.
Right. Whether it's And I talk to patients about this, whether it's a panic attack or long-term depression, you're going to get over it eventually. Okay,
right.
You're going to get the panic attack will subside. It doesn't feel like it, and I understand that, but eventually it's going to subside.
Right.
It's the same with depression. Okay, eventually it's going to subside.
Right.
Okay, and if you start moving in that direction, if you can get yourself to move in that direction, you can accelerate the whole process of moving away from that dead spot.
Definitely. The third step is to schedule.
Yeah.
Scheduling is so important. We completely underestimate the importance and power of scheduling. If you put it on your calendar, you are much more likely to do it. If you set if you set a reminder in your phone, if you set it in your calendar, either on your phone or, you know, a physical calendar, if you put it on your list of to-dos, you're much more likely to do it than if you just think, oh, I got to do that today.
That's right. Because again, this is one of those self-help things that you schedule everything else. You schedule a haircut, for goodness sakes. You schedule your car maintenance. You schedule cleaning. Everything else in your life is scheduled. But these critical things like self-help, you don't put them onto your schedule.
Right.
Put it on your schedule.
Put it on your schedule.
Make sure it's there. Make sure you do it.
Right.
And if nothing else, it gives you something to look forward to.
Right.
You know, and like today, I have my daughter's tennis match to look forward. So the whole day brightened because I know I have that to look forward to. I know that I'm going to do something that I enjoy, being with my family, being with her. And so it brightens the entire day.
Absolutely.
Everything's going to go better today because I have that to look forward to. Schedule these things.
Yeah. Now, number four is setting yourself up for success.
Right.
Don't think about it. Don't begin by trying to overdo it. Right. You know, don't say I'm going to exercise for 2 hours every day. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
So set realistic goals that allow you to find success.
That's right. Better to go for a short walk every morning, right, or to do something different every morning that is doable.
Right.
Because what you want is success.
Right.
Not you don't want to run a marathon. You just want to be able to get out and do something every day that you look forward to doing.
And sometimes those little changes are just little tweaks that you, right, can do to your already existing routine.
Right.
So if you know, when you go to the office, if you work on the third floor, instead of taking the elevator, you're going to be there every day anyways.
Right.
So instead of taking the elevator, just take the stairs.
Right.
It's a little shift to your typical day, mm-hmm, and it doesn't require anything different, anything special.
Right.
It's just a little bit of a shift that allows you to find some success.
Right.
Now, number five is
get moving,
mm-hmm, to get started with it. And so that's either, you know, again, getting out, as you were saying, for a walk in the morning, going using the stairs at work, or whatever the case may be, start moving. We know that exercise, that movement, increases hormones and chemicals in our body,
right,
that make us feel good.
That's right.
So get moving.
If there was one piece of advice I would give to a person who's struggling, it's move.
Mm-hmm.
Move, move, move,
right,
move. You break down, you know, the oxygen radicals.
Free radicals.
Break down free radicals.
Yeah.
You release hormones. You, mm-hmm, reduce neurotransmitters. There is just nothing. It's all good.
It's all good stuff.
It's all good.
I remember when I was in graduate school, one of the things one of my professors said was, it's really hard to be depressed when you're physically active.
That's right.
It's really difficult. And it goes right along with this.
Right. And the more you move, the better you're going to feel.
Right.
Okay. If you don't do anything else, do that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, number six is to be consistent. So
right,
again, this kind of goes along with putting it on your schedule, mm-hmm, getting moving and doing all those things. You have to be consistent. Make it a routine. I was talking to a kid yesterday and we were talking about trying to create a new routine, and he goes, is it really going to take 6 weeks? I go, it doesn't have to take 6 weeks. The more consistent you are and the more you want it,
right,
the more likely it is to shift to become a new habit quickly.
Didn't you play adult soccer,
mm-hmm,
at some point?
Yeah.
There were guys who wouldn't do anything all week and they'd, mm-hmm, go out and play on Saturday,
mm-hmm,
and they couldn't move,
right,
for 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that because,
right,
that's just going to bring you back to the dead zone.
Yeah. It takes you back to, you know,
I can't move for a couple of days.
Number two.
Right.
You know, you can't do that.
Do something manageable,
mm-hmm,
doable every day.
Right.
Okay. That's,
yeah,
better than blowing it out on Saturday.
Absolutely.
And then not being able to move for 3 days.
Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah. So number seven is to be efficient.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to, even though you may love going for a walk,
right,
if you set yourself up to where you're trying to exercise, again, for 2 hours a day,
right,
that's a lot of time.
Lot. Mm-hmm.
So you need
it's
to be very efficient in the,
right,
way that you're going to
mm-hmm,
do all this, because the more time it consumes, the more easily it's going to be that you find an excuse or use an excuse not to do it.
Right. We were talking the other day, I was talking to some colleagues, and we were talking about exercising, and they all agreed, going to the gym is an ordeal.
Right.
I was preparing for a triathlon one time, and the worst thing was swimming, because you had to go there, change, swim, get out, take a shower. It was a two-hour,
right,
deal,
mm-hmm,
you know, to work out for a half hour. Most people just don't have that kind,
right,
of time. And so whatever you do, that's why I always liked running, because I could get dressed, do my run, and come home and take a shower.
Yeah.
It was very quick.
Yep.
Going to a gym, going for a swim, takes time.
Right.
So do what your schedule allows.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the last one is to track it. And
measure,
you know,
right,
we're all about progress monitoring. Look at,
right,
what you're doing,
mm-hmm,
and how you're doing. I love the little videos that we see on YouTube sometimes, where a person will take a picture of themselves,
yeah,
every day,
yeah,
as they're going through different, you know, changes in their life. I think that is very, very powerful. Now, the progress is slow to begin with, so you have to remember that. You have to,
right,
keep that in mind, because,
mm-hmm,
it's going to be slow to begin with. But once that change begins,
right,
and you start seeing that increase on that curve start going up,
that's right,
oh, there's nothing more motivating than that.
And you have to measure it. I mean,
mm-hmm,
I'm sorry, you have to know whether you're making progress,
right,
or whether it's a scale or whether it's number of repetitions or number of days in a row that you exercise. You have to be measuring it. You have,
right,
to be keeping track.
Yeah. Later this week, I'm going to be in a forum,
yeah,
with our local electric company.
they're making some changes and stuff that mm-hmm. really sound awesome. And that's what we were talking about, is that, you know, it's really difficult to create motivation and to get going when you don't have a way to see if you're doing a good job.
That's right.
So you have to have some of these extrinsic motivators and things like that. So tracking it is that source of reinforcement, that feedback that you need to say, hey, you're doing a pretty good job.
This is working.
You're right. You're on your path. So.
Right.
All right. So there's your 8 steps.
Yep.
8 steps to using activity as a way to treat depression. Now think about this. If you combine some of that, some of those strategies, some of this activity
right.
with that healthy diet.
Right. Yeah. Two easy things. I love the title. Yeah. Do more, feel better.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I love the way that he ends this article.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He said, mm-hmm. you know, if inactivity makes depression worse, just do the opposite.
If inactivity, and it does.
Right.
Okay. The less you do, the more depressed, the deeper
right.
you'll go into the depression.
Right.
Right. So he says,
if inactivity makes depression worse, do the opposite.
Do the opposite. Right.
So become active.
Simple but wise.
Yes, absolutely. So, okay. All right. Well, that's it for today. We'll all be right. back next time with another topic, another set of ideas, right. some more things to talk about. So until then, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.